for the prayer meeting and the ministry of God's Word. And after Sunday morning's message, a few people asked me, would I do the second half of the chapter that we were in? I didn't intend doing that, but we didn't get very far along in the chapter. But after the meeting, I don't know whether the men noticed, but Lloyd put on Men of Valor a message from David Moore about caring for your pastor. And I know a few people have listened to it. It's an excellent message. And if you can, listen to it. And you could even send it to the women so that they can listen to it as well. Anyway, we're going to read again from chapter 11 of the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. And starting to read where we finished off on Sunday in verse 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. The Lord came down in a cloud, spake unto him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, the name of the other was Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and he said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Moses gat him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, around about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all that day, and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kilbroth Hattava, because there they buried the people that lusted. And the people journeyed from Kilbroth Hattava unto Hazeroth, and they abode at Hazeroth. I'm sure God will add his blessing to the reading of his word again. Father, we praise thee that we're able to read this word. We pray that you will give us an understanding of it. And we pray that you will speak to us now by thy Holy Spirit, our God and Father. For we ask thy blessing upon us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now the first word that we read together there was in verse 23. We looked at this portion of God's word, this chapter, and we saw that Moses was leading the people, but the people were giving him so much hassle that he wanted to kill himself, or he wanted to be dead. He asked God to kill him, in fact. He said, I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. The burden is too heavy. But the Lord had a solution. And that solution was to find 70 men, or for Moses to find 70 men, men of good report of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And at this point, I want to make an apology, because I made a mistake on Sunday. I realized after I read it over again that I was wrong. I said that God gave them a bonus. He didn't just give them the 70 elders to govern over Israel or to help Moses govern over Israel. He gave them the 70 and he gave them two more besides. He gave them a bonus, was the words I used. But in fact, he didn't give them two extra men. There were 68 that stood around the tabernacle of the elders, and there were two that stayed in the camp amongst the people. But nevertheless, they were still the elders of the people. So it wasn't a bonus. There were 70, but 68 were in the tabernacle. The two, I don't know whether anybody noticed it. I didn't notice it when I read it. And it shows us how precise and careful we must be when we read God's word. That was a wrong piece of information. I shouldn't have said it, but obviously I didn't notice it, otherwise I wouldn't have said it. But now I'm correcting it, and we'll come back to it in just a moment. But the first verse we read tonight was 23. And the Lord said to Moses, "Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Is the Lord's hand waxed short?" And you're thinking to yourself, I've heard those words somewhere before. And if you turn to Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 2, Isaiah 50 and verse 2, you will see there very similar words. Isaiah 50, verse 2. "Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, there was none to answer. Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem?" This is God speaking by his almighty power. "Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst." This is God, Almighty God, and his power. And that's what it's talking about in this verse. If you turn again to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. And it says there, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel, mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel, and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day." Verse 21, "And hast brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders, and with a strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror." And this is Jeremiah speaking in hindsight about the deliverance from the wilderness and through the wilderness. But here in Numbers, we are right in the middle of it, right in the thick of it. And people are complaining to Moses that they have no flesh to eat. They're complaining to Moses that this manna, they are fed up with it every day. But God gave it them for their sustenance so that they will be sustained on this wilderness journey. And God says to them, "Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not." So the Lord is speaking to Moses. And he said, "Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Can the Lord not do what he did when he delivered you out of Egypt? Can he not bring you through the wilderness?" And he says, "You will see whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. You are going to see what happens. The people have demanded, and they've demanded flesh. I gave them enough. I gave them sufficient. But they've demanded flesh. Moses, watch what happens over the next few days. And Moses went out in chapter 24, and he told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and he set them around the tabernacle. That's what God had told him to do. And look what happens when he sets them all around the tabernacle. The Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto Moses. And he took of the spirit that was upon Moses, and he gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Now, there's a lot of controversy about what those words there mean at the end. They prophesied and did not cease. And I believe that we have to take them at face value, that they prophesied and they continued to prophesy. But a lot of people interpret that verse as they interpret that they prophesied for one day and one night, and that was it. But you've got to remember that those 70 elders were put there to help Moses and to help him administrate all the things that had to be done in that travel through the wilderness. Remember that he was responsible, and he had a burden for 2 million people. And if you go back to the bit we read on Sunday, it says about those people that he was bringing through the wilderness in verse 12, "Have I conceived all this people?" These people had not been born unto Moses. "Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the second child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers?" In other words, many of these people were almost helpless, could not stand on their own two feet if they wanted to. They relied on Moses for everything. You imagine the burden he had. 2 million people, bringing them through the wilderness. And he had to look after almost every one of them. Not individually, I'm not saying. But then God gave him 70 men to help him. I don't think some of the interpretations of that verse saying that it was only for one day and one night that they prophesied. I can't see that that's right. I think we should just read it as we do read it in our Bible, that they prophesied and they did not cease. They prophesied and they continued to prophesy, in other words. So they were with Moses, not just for that day or that night, but for the future as well. And he set them around the tabernacle, and the Lord came in, and they prophesied, and they did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp, and the name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And some people say that they were brothers, possibly. Don't know whether that's true or not, and it doesn't make any difference to the things that we're reading here. Eldad means loved of God, and Medad means love. And the Spirit rested upon those two men as well. And the Bible says, "And they were of them that were written," verse 26. So the names that Moses wrote down to make elders, these two men's name were in the writing. But they didn't go to the tabernacle. Now, we don't read the reason that they didn't go to the tabernacle. Could it be that possibly they were too humble? They didn't think themselves worthy, so they did not go to the tabernacle. They stayed within the camp with the people. Whatever the reason, they didn't go to the tabernacle. And they prophesied, but they prophesied in the camp, within the camp. Verse 27, "There ran a young man, and he told Moses that this man Eldad and the other man Medad were prophesying in the camp." And he ran and told Moses, and he said, "Moses, what are these men doing prophesying in the camp? The only people who are supposed to be prophesying are the ones that were around the tabernacle, the elders around the tabernacle." And Joshua, the son of Nun, in verse 28, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, "My Lord Moses, forbid them." But look at Moses' answer. Moses said to him, "Enviest thou for my sake?" Or, in other words, are you jealous for my sake? Moses was not jealous at all. Moses could see that these men had the Spirit of God upon them. And look at the rest of his answer. "Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them." We'll come back to that in a moment. So we see this man, Eldad and Medad, the two of them, and the Spirit is not of God is not bound to the tabernacle. The Spirit of God was not bound to the tabernacle. It wasn't just in the tabernacle. It rested on the men themselves. Think of that today in the church. The Spirit of God is not bound to this building. The Spirit of God indwells every true believer. Every one of us who has trusted Christ the Saviour has the Spirit of God indwelling us. We are blessed, aren't we? A blessed people. And John chapter 3 verse 8 says this, "The wind bloweth where it listeth." And Psalm 139 tells us, "Where can we go from the Spirit of God?" Where can we go? And we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And we always will be indwelt by the Spirit of God. And we cannot hide from God. Wherever we go, we cannot get away from God. Think of Jonah. Tried to hide in the bottom of the boat. It didn't do him any good. He was God's man, wasn't he? God wanted him to do a job. It's the same, isn't it, with Moses. Moses wished himself dead. But it wasn't God's purpose and will that Moses should be dead. So Moses continued with God's help. This is what we have to realize, isn't it? None of us can manage without the helping hand of the God with whom we have to do. We can't. And the older you get, the more you realize it. We think when we're young, the glory of the young man, Solomon says, the glory of the young man is his strength. The glory of the old man is his gray head. But he also says, wisdom is better than strength. But he also says somewhere else, and I can't remember the verse, but he says that the wisdom or the strength are no good without God. The wisdom we need is the wisdom that God gives us, not our own wisdom. So, which verse were we on? So these men remained in the camp. But Moses' answer, he says, "Enviest thou for my sake?" It's like being jealous by proxy, isn't it? That's what they were doing. And when Joshua spoke to him, it was like as if he was jealous for Moses' sake. But Moses wasn't jealous at all. And he said, he wished that all the people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. But in this encampment of 2 million people, there was a very small minority of people who had the Spirit of God upon them. But in the church today, every single one of us who has trusted Christ as our Saviour has the Spirit of God. So Moses was wishing for something that is a reality today within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's move on from that verse. Verse 30. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. So they went in amongst the camp. And now God answers their desires. Their desire was for flesh. And God is going to give them their desire until they are absolutely sick of it. And he's also going to give them their desire until some of them die from it. Verse 31, and there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, around about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high, and upon the face of the earth. That's almost a metre high for a day's journey that way, a day's journey that way. And I looked this up and I thought, it's unusual, isn't it? The quail comes from Africa. I don't know whether it's North Africa or what part of Africa, but every year it migrates and comes to southern Britain especially, but even up as far as Scotland and all over Europe. And I don't know whether anybody's seen a quail. I've never seen a live one. I've seen two nice little plump ones on a plate, but not a live one. Anyway, they come up from Africa, and they come up every year, and the bird is, on the plate, they're about that size, but maximum of 6 inches, 150 millimetres for those who are in millimetres. But the bird isn't very big, and it gets blown from pillar to post if there's bad weather. And apparently it's a common phenomena for them to be blown this way and that, and they end up in a country that they didn't particularly want to go to, you know. They all head in for Britain, aren't they? But anyway, that's what happens. But when they're served in a restaurant, they're served two on a plate usually, because one's not enough because they're so small. And very often you'll find a piece of lead shot in them where they were shot as well. But they're just a little bird. But you imagine how many little birds it took to fill that up to a metre high, right throughout the camp. And so they all had enough flesh. And that's what God said in that earlier verse, wasn't it? You'll see if my word comes true or not. You'll see if my word comes to pass, Moses. And this is God fulfilling his word. They went forth a wind. The Lord brought the quails, and they were about a meter high. Verse 32. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves around about the camp. Now, as far as I can gather, 10 homers is about 220 litres. So if you imagine the boot on a Ford Fiesta, do you all know what a Ford Fiesta is? Small car, it's about 2/3 of a bootful. And every man gathered that many quails. Now you imagine not having eaten meat for quite a long time. They'd only eaten manna in the wilderness. And now they were eating meat and fat and whatever else. And you can envisage what happens. But the Bible tells us, he that gathered least gathered 10 homers. Verse 33. This is God's judgment against the children of Israel. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, verse 33, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And when I was talking to Sarah earlier on, I was wondering if that's what Jamie had. He hasn't been eating quails, Sarah, has he? They had a very great plague. But this is God's judgment, because the people complained and moaned to Moses. And the last two verses. And he called the name of that place Kilbroth Hattaavah, the graves of those who lusted, because they buried the people that lusted. So they weren't only made ill, but they died. Some of them died. And then the last verse tells us that they went from there to Hazeroth. And that was the continuation of their journey. The matter was dealt with. God had judged. If you turn over to Psalm number 78. And start to read it, verse 20. And it says, speaking to God, it says, can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was angry or was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, the fire of God's wrath against Jacob, and anger also came against Israel. Verse 22, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by God's power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust or their desire, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this, they continued to sin and believed not God for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. So he brought out his judgment against them, and they returned to God. Verse 35, they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Isn't that the same with us? Sometimes we forget that God is our rock. Christ is our rock, and the high God is our Redeemer and our Saviour. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. And it's worth reading the rest of that chapter if you get the time. It's an interesting chapter, and God dealing with his people, obviously hundreds of years before. I want to read one final passage, if you would please. And that is in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I think Moses has more words written about him in this chapter than anybody else. Verse 24 says this. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But if you read the verse before that, verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible, the invisible God. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. And we see there again, like a thumbnail sketch of Moses' life, and that he was a man of faith and that he trusted God because he knew God was a God of great judgment, and he trusted God in those travels through the wilderness. And we are traveling through a wilderness, the wilderness of sin. And we need help. We can't do it on our own. And the help we need is found in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at the place called Calvary. Thank you for listening. And I hope that perhaps you can just read a few of those chapters that we read together and find something for yourself within them. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Father, we praise thee that we've been able to read thy word again. We thank thee for the things contained in it. We thank thee for the thing that is contained in it for each one of us, eternal life, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the words we've read about Moses, a faithful man, our God and Father. We praise thee for the lessons that can be learned from him. We pray that you will continue with us now, our God, as we go into the prayer meeting. And we pray that you will bless everything that is said and done. And we pray that you will be with us again throughout the coming week. We ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Okay, we're like...